Well, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If the sermon had a title this morning, it would be One Body Created and Called to Build Up. It takes a body to lift up a cross. It takes a body to actually be here today. God has blessed us. He's created us with individual bodies, but we, as the church, are corporately, or are incorporated into, the body of Christ. So we're continuing, and it is National Lutheran Schools Week, so you heard the second reading from Colossians chapter 1, that Jesus holds all things together. He is in all things. It's not just that he will be with us, but he is with us in the midst of all things. I could have preached on that again, but I know my first sermon that was back in the fall was really good, and I can't do any better. And you remember it. No, I don't know. I'm kidding. That was not a humble thing to say, and I'm joking. I don't even remember that sermon. But I wanted to keep preaching through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 weeks in that, and then Pastor Luke, once he gets off the disabled list. You're abled today, though, but he'll preach on 1 Corinthians, Lord willing, 13 next week. But last week in 1 Corinthians 12, I think the summary verse was 12 verse 7, where St. Paul says that to each person is given a manifestation or is given something or things by the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit, which is used for, the ESV translation says, the common good, or maybe the more literal translation is for the building up or the upbuilding. And I started thinking about the building up. And then bodybuilding. Bodybuilding can have some good purpose, but it can get completely out of whack. See, if it's just bodybuilding for bodybuilding's sake, and then all the performance-enhancing drugs and things that come with that, I found some images. I don't see anyone here that fits the bill, which is good. This is going to be a compliment. It was men specifically who seemed to just focus on one or two muscle groups, and have these biceps, which are just grotesque. I don't even think they could even close their arms together. A lot of things they couldn't do, but they had some huge biceps. And also some of them, what are these traps or whatever this is up here? I mean, just huge. Looks like they had a collar on. But one of the guys in particular, he had no chest muscles, he clearly probably skipped leg day. He cared about one muscle and one exercise and just kept doing it. Maybe even injected stuff just into his biceps, but it's not healthy. Not only did it look weird, it didn't even look good. And so, as we move into 1 Corinthians 12 to 31, St. Paul uses a metaphor that's really a perfect metaphor, doesn't need to be re-explained, about the fact that we are assembled individually and collectively, corporately, as the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, there is a unity. You don't want a dismembered body. A hand that is detached from the whole body is dead and useless. So there is a unity that comes in and through the one Spirit. But in that unity and in that Spirit-led life, there is proper proportion, as well as there is purpose and function which follows from that. Not just bodybuilding for bodybuilding's sake, but now, today, a more holistic way of looking at health and weight training is to do functional weight training. Things that actually could be useful, like if I'm going to pick a box up and lift it from the floor and put it on a shelf, like that would be good. Things that are actually in service of all things that fit together. And on this National Lutheran Schools Week kickoff, in all things, the body of Christ, Christ is present in all things. And the question, and it's always there, is that I wonder, how do we relate to one another? How do we relate to ourselves? Because we are body and soul and spirit and mind. But then, in turn, how do we and how should we relate to one another? Because in the body, there is an interconnectedness. There is an interdependency. There's a codependency. Codependency doesn't have to be a bad thing. There are healthy codependencies. There's a codependency that happens in families. Hopefully the positive codependencies. That happens in teams. I'll say it. Purdue couldn't do it. Lost the other night. I see your sweatshirt there, Dick. Yeah. I mean, I will say it is difficult to beat a team 10 times in a row. So That's kind of my passive-aggressive acknowledgement there. But teams need to function well together. It's not just one player can't bring the team back usually. It needs the whole is greater than the sum of its part. And truly then we think about this holistically. These things need to fit together in the right way. And they're designed for function and purpose. And bodybuilding for bodybuilding's sake, to go to the Arnold or some sort of weight building competition, which is, I think, frankly, if it's just about building muscles for building muscles' sake, that's vanity. That's just for show. That's vanity. It really, in the end, it's pointless. So rather than being a muscle-bound bodybuilder, let's think about this in terms of balance and purpose, more broadly about health. And that health is tied together: physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, individual health, health as the body of Christ assembled in this place. Because that muscle-bound bodybuilder, I don't think, looks healthy or right. And also then, when we think about overall health, individually and corporately, we need to know how do we discipline ourselves to have good habits and things that we do together, good practices. How do we know, are we sensitive to and know how to respond and pay attention to parts of the body that are hurting or maybe not working correctly, or there are damaged parts? And sometimes the best thing to do is just to rest. Other times we need a little more intentional intervention, and maybe it's physical therapy. Sometimes when it is emotional things, I think everybody can benefit from a good conversation, a good counselor. Maybe it's talk therapy. Sometimes it requires prescribing medication for a short period of time or maintenance medications. But when we think about overall health, there are extremes. An immune system that is overactive, autoimmune disorders, the body attacks itself, and maybe even the smallest little sniffle turns into something that shuts the entire body down. But on the other hand, if you have an immune system that doesn't work at all, well, then anything and everything is also a threat. But in the middle, well, usually the middle, in the center where Christ is in all things, is the best place, the healthy place. But even as I think about this in my own life, I really have grown to enjoy working out, physical fitness. Since we moved into our new home 3.5 years ago, the basement has become a place that I like going to, and now largely is arranged so I can work out. And I like going down there by myself, but if it's just about me working out just to benefit me, and then the temptation is I like going down there for some solace, like I don't want anybody else to come down. I don't even really want the dog to come down there. But if I spend all my time in the basement for me, what good is that? Doesn't help anybody. So I need to be tied in to others. Now, the other night, I went down intentionally and watched the first half of the Purdue-IU game. I found in my frustration I could lift some heavier weights. But I also realized that if something's not right with me, I couldn't watch the second half. Can't even do it. I mean, it's an intentional thing, but I think, come on, Troy, you ought to be able to watch a silly game. But I'm still learning and growing. But the Apostle Paul, inspired, guided, the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. He understands this. He talks about this early in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." Like when you're in this thing, run like you mean it. Be committed. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive, St. Paul says, a perishable wreath, something that was just, it's temporary, it'll wither and go away. But we, an imperishable, something that endures forever. So Paul says, so I don't run aimlessly, just in circles for no purpose. I don't box as though beating the air, shadow boxing, or in vain. He says, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. St. Paul understands that he is created by his heavenly Father with a purpose, but it does take discipline because it's easy to go into this ditch or that ditch, but to be in the middle. And not only is that true for us individually, but also as the body of Christ here at St. John. So just briefly summarizing 1 Corinthians 12, the first two verses, starting at verse 12, St. Paul says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. There's no better metaphor. I don't need to use a metaphor to describe a metaphor. It's the perfect metaphor. So Paul says, for in one spirit, or by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. We were called out of and then incorporated into, put into the one body, a new creation, a living body, and as such as a new identity. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit. These social distinctions, they no longer exist. We have something new. We're living something new in and through Christ Jesus, who is at the center of all things. By one Spirit, we are all incorporated into the same body, the body of Christ. And so baptism then is this most basic foundation for our unity. One Lord, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism. But as I was studying this text, of one of which I'm pretty familiar, the next part of 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 to 20, and then 21 to 26 really can be divided into two general sections, and I had never really read it this way. In the first section with 14 to 20, St. Paul is addressing in this imaginary conversation between body parts, those parts of the body that don't think themselves good enough, or they think that they are inferior. Maybe you know of, or maybe you have, an inferiority complex. Like, you're not quite good enough, and it always kind of nags at you. So here's this imaginary conversation, and Paul says in verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And now he expands this. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. It is a part of the body, regardless of what the foot thinks of itself. And if it understands what it is, like the rest of the body has trouble going places if the feet don't work. And if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? It is a grotesque image if the body was one giant eyeball, or one giant eyeball with 1,000 eyeballs inside of it. It's useless, and that eye's going to dry out. That eye would be helped to have maybe some other muscles that could move it around. It would help to have an eyelid. It would help to have a body to move it around, to not only perceive things, but then be able to react. And the reality is, and I know this, if you all were just like me and we were one big Troy, Lord have mercy. Because I can't hardly even stand myself sometimes, let alone if it was a bunch of me out there. And that's not the way it is. Praise be to God. Every part of the body, St. Paul is reminding you and me individually and corporately, is vital, vital, life-giving, life-sustaining, life-enhancing and enriching. And then he says in verse 18, but as it is, but now God arranged the members in the body, each one as he chose, but now God has put the parts in the body, each one as he wants, as he wishes, as he desires. This is a first commandment. It is a first article truth. God is God, and I am not. God is God, and you are not. God is the creator. He has put you into the body. We do not assemble ourselves into the body as some kind of Frankenstein's monster or some kind of thing where we can modify ourselves with these parts here and there. God has put us into the body. And you are where you are, whether you like it or not, and you should. It's better for you if you like it and if you understand that. But we also need God and we need one another. We have a positive co-dependency. God is the doer. And so this then also eliminates the idea that we assign ourselves roles or reassign ourselves roles. You might think we need three hands. I think we need some extra part. No, God has put us in there. Because he says, if all were a single member, where would the body be? There wouldn't be a body. There'd just be a giant eyeball or a dismembered hand. But as it is, he says, there are many parts, but one body. So this first section, Paul talks to those parts of the body that don't think they're good enough. And then he says, okay, well, now that I've talked to you all, let's talk to the parts of the body that maybe you've guessed it, that have a little too high opinion of themselves. Those parts of the body that have a superiority complex. So he says in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. I mean, it can try, but it'd be stupid. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And as we think about this in the church, who is the head overall? Well, it's Jesus. So this isn't something that St. Paul is saying in a theoretical world. He's saying in an actual true world, individually, corporately, we are the body of Christ, many members made to work together. It doesn't always work in a healthy way, but there is hope. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker, St. Paul says, are indispensable. They're necessary. He says in 2 Corinthians, he talks about his weakness and suffering. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. That he says that Jesus' power is made perfect in weakness. These parts all are necessary. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable or shameful parts, they're treated with greater modesty or hiddenness. We cover with clothing those parts that deserve the greater honor, which are more presentable parts, he says, don't require. But the end of 24, but has so God composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacks it. God bestows, God gives the honor. And then verse 25, which is an echo of, I think, the entire message or sermon in 1 Corinthians, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. God has put the body together, and as such, it is not an accident that He has assembled us all here today, January 23rd, 2022, despite the first significant snowfall of the year, despite the fact that Indiana finally beat Purdue. I don't think that it's all freezing over. That was just kind of off the cuff. It's not an accident that we're here, that He's assembled us in this way. God is the doer. The thing is, what causes division? Well, it's sin. Sin always divides. It separates. The ultimate division is to be cut off from God, but the ultimate physical division is death when the body and soul are separated. It's not a peaceful thing. They're ripped apart. That's the end. And when someone dies, you can't interact with them anymore. Part of the body dies. But we confess that Jesus has come and shed His lifeblood and given His life for sinners, that those who would otherwise be marked for death or be dead can have life because He gives that life. He gives His life, that He is risen, that the body will not stay dead, but will be raised to live forever. But Jesus is the head of the body. We are placed into Him. And division is usually caused by not seeing one another, regarding one another, looking at one another properly. Well, how should we see one another? We should see one another as God the Father sees us. Well, how is that? Well, He sees us because you and I are baptized into Christ. He sees His Son, and He sees all of His perfect obedience of His Son. He gives that to you and me. And then in turn, because we have first been loved by the Father, we see other people as the Father sees us. We see other people as Jesus sees us. And then he says in verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That is why today my heart soars. Because Rob Finnessy hit that 3-point shot, had the game of his career, in Indiana won. I can rejoice with those Hoosiers. And maybe, on the other hand, maybe you mourn with me because Purdue lost. That's trivial. It's trivial. But it's true, right? So we should rejoice with those who rejoice. It's not, well, something went really good for Pastor Luke, and now I am less. I rejoice with him. I'm glad for him. And I'm learning to see this and love this. And so, rather than cultivate division, St. Paul says, guided by the one Spirit, as we're put into Christ, we should be anxiously and thoughtfully concerned for one another. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. We know this in a school ministry. 170th school year, we share in things. We bear with one another in all things. We endure through things. But there is a proper balance and proportion. Sometimes the sense is, I mean, in a congregation with a school, well, you know, the church is really important, the school is just an afterthought. Or it can get easily flipped around, and sometimes it moves in 170 years. Well, the school is really important, and we just have to drag this church around, you know, just for our namesake and everything. No! God has assembled us together, and it's a great thing to have a school ministry, to have a Little Wings ministry, but that's not all we're about, not even the main thing we're about. This is the forgiveness of sins place. This is where the body of Christ is assembled, and there are many ways that God has used His saints here on the southeast side of Indianapolis. As He has assembled us together. All these things should be shared, but it's not easy that you and I individually and corporately assembled as the body of Christ. Here's the thing, though, because Christ has come and He has given His life, He has paid the ransom for you and me, believe it or not, but you've heard it again today, you're free. You are free, and so am I. Free from sin and death and the power of the devil, and in that freedom then, for you and me, as children of the Heavenly Father, life can truly be play. I think about this with the kids at recess. Not a care in the world. Little do they know, then real life will hit. And it just goes from bad to worse. And then Purdue loses. No. That we're free. And it's not just, well, this is a practice exercise, you know, because one day I'll fly away. No, this is life right now. And it's not just, well, someday I'll think about maybe trying to get into the game or practicing or doing or well, I only practice, but I'll never actually do it. No, we actually live the life that God has given us. And in that sense, it's play. And what's the worst thing that can happen? Do I need to go to pieces because Purdue loses to Indiana? No. Do I need to go to pieces? You know, here's the thing. 2 weeks ago, the heat wasn't working in here correctly, and it drives me nuts. And I'm thinking, this system, it's so complicated. And look, I know it's cold. Everybody else knew it was cold. It was cold, and we couldn't get it figured out. And couldn't get it. Finally, it comes on Tuesday. You know, last night, coming here, I walk into here at 3:45, and it is 48 degrees, and I said, oh, Lord, I hope the heat is working. And I came up here, and it wasn't, and I was so angry. I mean, and Purdue lost, that was probably part of it. But I was so... I mean, it's been a year. Pastor Luke been gone the whole calendar year. Welcome back, buddy. No, I mean, he was here last week. So all these things happening, and I just can't hardly... deal with any more, and then I get up here and I call. We call. Where is he? Here he is, Lynn Fox. Doesn't answer his phone. He's the keeper of everything. If something goes wrong right now, we just call Lynn. He'll fix it. We need a sub for maybe school tomorrow too. No, we call. Lynn didn't answer his phone. We can't figure it out. And then we realize, oh, the fire alarm went off. And then so we start talking, and Matt Peterson was here, and he goes down. He said maybe because nothing is running. Maybe it had something to do with the fire alarm. Well, we called Lynn to have him fix the fire alarm, but Lynn's not answering. Of course not. I'm walking down to my office, and I usually, you know, because this is such a mundane thing. It hit me because I'm about at it. Lord, please, the heat. Can we just have the heat? And I get down to my office, and I check the thermostat, and it's supposed to be on. Of course, it's not working. And then I get back, and Matt Peterson says something like, oh, about the fire alarm. And I call somebody else whose plane was just landing and said, you know how to reset the fire alarm? Yeah, and I go and I find the key, because of course I couldn't find the key, and I found the key. I'm going to show you that tomorrow, Pastor Luke. And so, because that's a pastor's job, you got to fix that. Everybody. Because the thing is, I'm like, I know that people are going to be disappointed when the heat doesn't work. And they're going to be mad at me. And the whole church is going to fall apart. And I knew it. It's too complicated. And it's all going to... See, there are healthy immune responses, and there are I have an overactive immune response that I'm going to go crazy because the heat doesn't work. And apparently, I mean, I don't know what's happened the previous 169 and a half years, but this could undo us all. And then suddenly we get the thing fixed and the heat came on. I didn't have any time to prepare in the way. It probably doesn't seem like I prepared anyway. I didn't go through the thing. I didn't go through the prayers. I just rolling. One body, many members. It took a team to figure out how to turn the heat back on. But you know what? Even if the heat wouldn't have turned on, it would have been okay. Because last night there were more people than typical for a Saturday night, and each one of them roughly 98 degrees. Some people do have a pretty cold heart. They were about 90 degrees. No, I'm kidding. So 98 degrees of people gathered together. I'll tell you, we would have kept one another warm. We were individually, collectively, corporately, the body of Christ, and then it becomes play. Oh, we'll just see what happens. Oh, maybe Pastor Luke doesn't get to do one thing, doesn't do whatever. It'll be fine. God will. It's an adventure. Because it's going to be okay. We're the body of Christ. Christ is risen. And even in the face of death itself, we mourn with those who mourn, but we say, you know what? We weep, but we weep with Easter in our tears because Christ is risen. That is being the body of Christ. And that's true in our school ministry, and that's true in divorce care and grief share. That is true in all the ways that God has gifted us here. So then St. Paul says, in summary, at the end, at verse 31, so earnestly desire the higher gifts. And that's ultimately going to come next week about love. And as I referred to Pastor Luke at the late, I didn't do this in this service, but I referred to him as the love doctor. I don't know why. He's working on an advanced degree from the seminary. I don't know if it's a doctorate yet, but we'll hear more about that next week. What a blessing that God has assembled us here. I count myself blessed. I was talking with a pastor friend who right now is not serving the parish. He was a high school classmate of mine. And he hasn't been in the parish the past couple of years. And we were talking on Friday, and he said, I don't envy you, at least at this point. I'm not quite ready to get back in the parish. I knew what he meant. It's not easy. but he should, because I count myself blessed to be with you. It's not an accident that God has put us here. That all the things that have happened and will happen, and yet we always, always have hope. Because Christ is crucified, Christ is risen, Christ is with us, and He holds us together in all things. In this 2021 and 22 school year to eternity, to Him be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guide and keep and guard and keep our hearts and minds in Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen.